If you're married, you're probably busy with work. And if it's not work, it's the kids. And if it's not the kids, it's grandchildren or community service or church activities or hobbies. And the list goes on and on. How are you supposed to make time, though, for your spouse? This is Focus on the Family with Focus President Jim Daly and psychologist Dr. Julie Slattery.
John, it's so sad. It seems like we often take for granted those who are closest to us. We cheat the time with our loved ones in order to give it to people that we might work with or that just aren't that close to us. And we do have some of that backward.
I think some of it, Jim, is that in marriage over the course of years and that business you're talking about, John, you forget to have fun together, and you can be attracted to someone else because those butterflies come back and you're excited about exploring new things. But the truth is that if you can focus on your marriage a little bit, you can revive some of those feelings that you had when you guys first fell in love.
Well, today we don't want to talk about kind of the core fundamentals of how to have a great marriage. We're going to talk about how to have fun in your marriage, which I think is a key ingredient. So we have brought in one of our colleagues, Dr. Greg Smalley. Greg has written many books on the topic of marriage. He's at the forefront of something called marriage intensives and has helped really bring that to fruition with great success. And Greg, it's great to welcome you to the microphones.
So thankful to be here with you guys again. I don't know what it means that you bring me in just to talk about fun.
Well, you are a bit crazy, aren't you?
It's a reflection of who you are.
Yeah. Greg, let me ask, I think, the million-dollar question. Why do marriages suffer from this malaise? Why do they lose excitement or fun in their relationship?
You know, I think there's a couple reasons. I think one is just, you know, living with someone over time, with, you know, being with my wife over all these years, we're about to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary, and I think that so many couples just sort of get into this routine, you know, after those early years of dating to where we, you know, we ask all the questions and learn all this new information. I think we just settle into this routine. You know, I'll never forget the time that I was, Aaron asked me to get something at the grocery store. So I, you know, after work, so I just stop and I see this, there's like this huge special on Diet Coke. You know, don't ask me. It was this big display and it caught my eye and I'm like, whoa, it's like a pyramid, you know? And so I thought, Aaron loves Diet Coke. I'm going to bring her home some Diet Cokes. And it was like these just huge cases. And so, you know, I just load up and she's going to love me and who knows what will happen tonight, you know, after this loving behavior.
Paying off in Diet Coke.
So I, like, you know, walk this stuff in. You know,
stumble into the door, exactly. Arms full of Diet Coke.
And I present this to her, and I'll never forget. She goes, "Ah," she goes, "Yeah, I don't drink that anymore." She said something else, and I just remember going, "What? This is like the nectar of life for you. This is, you know, this was coming out of the rock in the, you know, in the wilderness for the Israelites to you." And it just, again, I mean, we just change and we grow in things that we love, like Diet Coke in the beginning. I mean, we can lose that. So, I mean, it's just a stupid little reminder that it's easy to kind of fall into that routine and sort of miss these changes.
Mm-hmm. I hope you at least got credit for your effort. Greg, we talk so often at Focus on the Family about things that you can do to improve your marriage. And a lot of times we're talking about deep issues like how you resolve conflict and how you deal with the difficult, painful issues that come up in life. How can something as simple as having fun together turn a struggling marriage around?
Yeah. You know, one, there's great research that supports simply spending time together. Like on a date night can have a huge impact. I think it was the marriage expert Scott Stanley, Howard Markman there at the University of Denver, as they did this big study. To them, they were shocked that just having fun kind of emerged as one of the best predictors of a strong marriage. And I think for me, that so often in the midst of busyness and all the things that we're doing, that we're asked to make all these huge changes. Yeah, you got to start doing this. You got to quit doing this. You need to start reading a book or go to a marriage seminar. You know, all things are very important. What I like about a date night is that you're taking something that for so many couples, spending time together, something that's already happening, and you're sort of repurposing how you spend your time together. I tell you what, you'll be shocked at the difference that it can make. There's some things that can happen if you do it just a little bit different. Just tweak it. Not add to, just tweak.
Let me ask that question because Jean and I have struggled a bit with this, to be completely honest. And part of it is because we've been doing
she's
a
in
lot.
The audience.
You know, she's not in the audience, so I can say this. But she does listen every day, so I'm in trouble either way. But, you know, we've become foster care parents and all those kinds of things, and that's been a heavy demand for us. So we've kind of lost the time, just the raw time to actually work it out. I would think a lot of couples will fill in the blank. It may not be exactly where we're at right now, but, you know, whatever demands are on their lives, they would fill in that blank and say, we can't do it because. What do you say to us? We're struggling to find that time. Mm-hmm. It's hard because we're really overcommitted, basically.
And overwhelmed, too.
Mm. You know, what I would say, I think the key is to try to look for opportunities that are ongoing that you're having to do anyways, and how can you change those to strengthen the relationship? So you're in the midst of just preparing to be foster parents and adopt, you know, some kids. Well, I imagine you're having to go to meetings, you're having to go to trainings, and so how can you utilize that time in the car, mm-hmm. for example?
So it doesn't have to be complex, and I think that's what people hear, is there's a big formula to this, and it really is time alone, just to talk.
It doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to be complex, it's really looking, being observant of what are some things, chores. I'm telling you, you can turn chores that we're going to do every day into something fun. Erin and I, she said, hey, I got to go to the grocery store. And I just said, well, hey, let me go with you. Now, again, we have some older kids, so it's okay to say, hey, you know, Taylor, our 18-year-old, or, you know, I'm going with Mom. But, you know, we just went to the grocery store, and we're being playful and having fun. Actually, Erin went around to get something, and I had the cart, so I'm pushing the cart. Well, I stopped and left the cart somewhere, and then I walked down the aisle to get something else. Well, someone else pulled up, and I watched my wife come back with this armload of groceries and dump them into this other person's cart.
Oh.
And they're watching her, and you could just see this guy's looking at her going, what? I don't want this stuff, you know?
So
it wasn't Diet
do?
Coke, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But
did you just stand back and let that happen?
Oh, of course. Exactly.
So it was fun for Greg and a little embarrassing for Erin.
He's taking stuff out. She's looking at him like, what are you doing?
That'll be our next program. Now, not to embarrass your spouse at the grocery store.
But again, I mean, just simply something like doing grocery shopping together, some mundane task that we're going to have to do anyways, you can turn that into something to strengthen your
But you're also describing a playfulness in the relationship, and mm-hmm. that seems to be critical. And that is something that I think healthy relationships have, even in the, you know, the moment of stress. Something funny that is said or expressed, I think, determines a healthy relationship. What do you think, Dr. Julie?
Oh, I agree with you. That's something that I love about my husband, is he's always playful. The stories about the grocery store remind me of a few times where Mike has known I've been at the grocery store, and he'll come to the grocery store without me knowing it. And, like, be behind me or in a different aisle.
You.
Yes, and he'll be saying things. I'll be like, wow, that sounds
Is he
like
in
Mike.
Disguise or what?
He's done that, too. But he's got...
He puts his creeper mustache on.
No, he picked me up in an airport once. You know, as my flight was coming in, he dressed up, like, with an earring and put tanning stuff on. I didn't recognize him. He's got a big cigar, and he's trying to help me with my bags, and I'm like, who's this weird guy? He just starts laughing. But one of the things that has really sustained our relationship over almost 18 years now has been that consistent playfulness that he has. I tend to be a little too serious, but I tell him, you make me laugh every day, and that gets us through some difficult times.
Oh, literally this morning I'm getting ready, and Erin just cuts the lights off in the bathroom as I'm showering. Just sort of yells out, just sort of screams, scares me to death. Turns the light back on and just acts like nothing happened. And I'm going,
now don't do that if your spouse has heart problems, right?
Do not attempt to do this at home.
I'm fine. So.
Right. Okay, John. Now, when we think of marriage, a focus on the family, we're thinking about how do we help you strengthen your marriage. If you have a poor marriage, make it better. If you have a good marriage, make it great, because our marriages truly are a testimony to the world that's watching.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a woman wrote us the other day and said that her sister heard a show, kind of emailed her, told her she's got to listen to it. She came home from work. She got online. She listened to the program. Then when her husband came home, they listened to it together. They ended up having a great conversation. You know, they ordered some resources that's really going to help their relationship, to strengthen it. But here's what I love, though. She ended with, "Thanks just doesn't cover it. You renewed our hope." Mm. That's what it's about, giving someone hope, not just the tools, but the hope that they can have a thriving marriage.
Maybe you haven't had a date night in recent times, and that's partly what we're talking about here today, making time for your marriage, making time to tune your marriage up. And, John, I think you and I, quite some time ago, I think it was December, challenged each other to date our wives, Jean and Dina, and here's a portion of that conversation. Now, here's the challenge for you and me and every one of you men. What can we do each month? Let's just start right there. Can we do something once a month that is special in that
way? Like send her an email this month about the date that we're going to have in 6 months?
Not at all. But are you willing to take that challenge?
I am. It's, you know, it's a busy season right now here.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no,
all
no, no,
of
no.
the activities
Come
going on.
On.
So can I have a pass until
January? No, we got to start here in December. Ugh. Let's start. I know it's busy. But let's challenge each other, and we'll come back and report month to month how we're doing on that.
Well, we haven't really reported month to month, have
let's
we?
Let's revise that.
We'll
so this morning,
annually.
Feeling guilty, knowing that we were going to record this, I went up to Jean, gave her a big hug, said, "How you feeling today? How are your emotions?" She answered both questions. I said, "Okay, that was a date night, right?"
Oh, that's lame.
We have a buzzer.
It's pretty low standard there.
Hey, I'm being honest. Okay, how did you do?
No, yeah, I think we did that. What was that conversation in December? I mean, that's such a busy time.
You guys are.
I said that back then too.
I
think January we did get away at least 3 or 4 times that month.
All right, Greg, you need to help
for
them.
A date night.
Good.
But February was not so good because I traveled a lot in February, so.
Okay.
It was kind of those, well, hi, how are you? Great, good night kind of things.
Well, we're not doing so good.
No, 50-50 probably.
Let's extend the challenge, and we'll come back, and Julie, we'll, between you and I, and then Julie, we got. It sounds like you guys are just having a ball.
I think Julie needs to kind of be part of this
challenge. We are having a lot of fun, yeah.
Good. You're in a stage, though, where you have older kids now.
Right. Our oldest is 14 years old,
yeah,
that's
nice.
Helped a lot. But we've taken advantage of that just by, for example, yesterday, hey, do you want to go for a walk around the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
And
I like that.
And just for 45 minutes, we're able just to leave the boys, and that makes a huge difference.
Of course, when Mike dresses up as a clown, it makes it a little difficult.
She didn't know who she was walking with. But,
she didn't walk with a stranger.
You turned left, she turned right.
But, you know, that does bring up an issue. There are some couples who are consistent about spending time together, but it's just boring. They go to the same restaurant. They get in the car and say, "What do you want to do?" "I don't know. What do you want to do?" They can't come up with new ideas, and dates have become stale.
Yeah.
So, Greg, when you're in that rut, how do you mix things up?
Yeah. I think, one, just to recognize that some really smart people did this study to where they looked at brain waves and all this stuff about the brain. And what they found is that when couples kind of break out of the routine and add some novelty, add something new and creative, I mean, simply even if all you want to do is dinner and a movie, if you go on the across town, go to a different theater, what they're finding is that when you do something new, it activates the parts of the brain that were firing when you were first dating. So it brings back these similar kind of feelings and thoughts when you first were getting to know each other, and that alone can really strengthen a marriage, just doing something different. And Aaron and I, again, we're always looking to try something new. Like just the other day, this was like 2 days ago, I said, "Hey, what about taking a cooking class together?" And she looked at me, you know, almost like, "Yeah, right. You never even cook at our home. You know, why would we want to do that?" I said, "Let's just try something different." So, I mean, we're looking for a cooking class here around where we live. So, and I think for a lot of couples, what I've noticed is that couples kind of get into this, buy into this myth that somehow if, you know, once we get married, we can sort of put the marriage on cruise control, just send it down the road and hope that everything will be okay as we get involved in all these other things. And what's just sad about that is that, you know, there's no autopilot in marriage. There's no cruise control. It's something that we need to really be investing every single day. And I try to keep that in mind, but it's hard.
Going back to something you said, I mean, it was a great humorous moment where you walked in with a Diet Coke and she didn't want Diet Coke.
Yeah.
How much does that happen to us as couples where there's an attempt by one spouse or the other to reach out and say, "Let's have some fun," and it gets squashed? And, well, there's not a lot of incentive to try that again now, is there?
Yeah, especially because people define what's fun to them very, very differently. But I think, though, for me, that what I noticed is that I got into a bad habit of believing that I knew everything there was to know about my wife. I don't know if I literally would sit and think about that, but you know, I'd spent so much time getting to know her, asking all the questions, that I just had a real confidence that I know her. You know, I would have told someone, yeah, I get my wife because I've, you know, invested all this time. And the problem is that we change. And I heard someone use a quote that said something like, you know, one lifetime isn't long enough to really to get to know someone because we're always changing. And that's something I remember. And there's so many examples of it. I mean, I remember early on our marriage, it's kind of the same thing like the Diet Coke. I mean, I stopped to surprise Aaron with dinner and brought pizza home.
I'm sorry, this is pretty
Coke
funny.
And pizza. You're mocking me, I feel it. The
pizza,
judgment.
That's a great choice. How did she respond to the pizza?
Well, it was the type of pizza, though, it was the problem, is that she, when we dated, it was always pineapple and ham. Each time I went to get pizza, pineapple and ham. And so I picked up this pineapple and ham pizza, gave it to her, she opens the box up and just went, oh, well, hey, thank you. Whoa. I am
not
sort of warm, but the way you said that, that's a good thing. And she went, you know what, I just really don't like that anymore.
She's moved on to pepperoni.
Exactly.
Aaron's had life changes, hasn't she? Diet Coke, pizza.
And I miss these things. You know, but it just struck me as like this whole paradigm was collapsing within my marriage. What else do I not know?
But see, that's the beauty of how God created us as women, because we're always changing, so it gives you a constant challenge. You never will get bored because
keeps
you'll never.
Spicy.
Yeah, I mean,
but
that's
we want to stick with
though.
The same stuff, you know. Right. Stick with pepperoni or the
olive. We can't both be changing at the same time. So God has given women the prerogative to change their minds whenever we want. Yes.
No, that's good.
One of the things, Greg, I don't know if this came from you. I think it was a casual conversation we had.
Was it a good idea?
It was a good idea.
Well,
I thought we went down. We sat down and I said to Dina, just write down 10 fun things. And I did the same thing. We compared lists. I was kind of surprised because what used to be fun for her wasn't on the list quite so much as I thought it would be.
She doesn't like doing dishes anymore.
Vacuuming. Who would not like to vacuum?
Well, it was kind of an eye-opener because I thought, well, let's have some fun. But it was a little bit of a challenge because our list didn't mesh quite so well.
Yeah.
So there is change, and that means that I've got to change too.
Yeah. Well, there's change, and there's also just pure gender differences. You know, I think for a lot of times men and women certainly define sort of intimacy very, very differently, which contributes kind of this confusion. You know, I think men define intimacy around doing things together, like these activities. You know, that's why, you know, I'll invite my wife, hey, let's go down and play ping pong in the basement. That'll be so much fun. And see,
you probably win most
with
of those
pizza.
Times too, right?
Only Canadian bacon
with
and pineapple.
Pizza and Diet Coke. All right, you're starting to give me the impression that I'm a complete loser.
Not at
saying
all.
That now.
You're
not
trying
at all.
Hard.
I'm trying. But doing things together, I mean, just these activities. I mean, Aaron will say, hey, whereas women, you know, really define intimacy more on that deep sort of emotional talking, you know, where we get to these deep levels. And so, I tell you what's great is Aaron will say, hey, yeah, I'd love to talk, but hey, why don't we go for a walk? You know, why don't we've had these great talks playing ping pong.
So some
whatever.
Activity is good
some
for
activity.
Guys. And women need to understand that. I mean, guys like to be moving when they're talking deeply.
Okay.
I don't know how all that could happen. But
and guys aren't the only ones who get it wrong sometimes. I remember the first year of our marriage, I did something really stupid. I sent my husband flowers at work.
Oh, no, you did.
I did.
Not.
Why is that stupid?
Well, I thought,
he's a
you
former
know,
Marine.
Well, well I think he got kind of laughed at work.
Really?
But, yeah, but I thought, man, I would like to get flowers at work. And so I sent them to him, and it didn't quite have that same effect.
Well, it's sweet. It's the thought. I give you an A for the thought.
Oh, thanks.
I think that was well done.
I say we pull our resources and send Mike some flowers.
No.
Let's have the video crew in Jim's office, yeah. And Gene can send Jim some flowers.
Hey, Greg, as we've talked about a man's intentionality with the date night, again, just for those that have just joined us, talk about making this simple so it's not overly complex. Maybe you want to go to that extent to make it something spectacular.
Yeah.
But when you get started, are you looking at doing this once a month, once a week, twice a week? What should you be aiming at? We need some guidelines.
Yeah, I think for me, You know, once a month is something that Aaron and I have really committed to. As a matter of fact, it's not the date itself that's the key. It's actually what happens. In, for example, one of the big problems that we've noticed with couples is that if they finally do take some time and get the babysitter and now we're going out, sadly, a lot of couples begin to administrate their marriage. Mm-hmm. And I began to notice that. You know, when we had young kids, it was hard. You know, I mean, babysitting's expensive. I mean, we just didn't have those resources. We were in graduate school. And so when we would finally get out, all of a sudden we'd get into administrating our marriage. In other words, we started talking about the kids and the budget and some major decisions or maybe some sensitive things or some frustrations that we had been having with one another. And I got to the point to where literally I remember asking Aaron one time, why do we pay someone so that we can come out and argue?
That's honest.
We could do this for free at home.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that with other people within the marriage, when they get into that sort of habit, is that it's almost like they condition each other that if we're going to be alone, sort of on this quote-unquote date night, it's really not that safe. And they start avoiding it.
So you're saying we need to lay some ground rules? Go out, try to do this once a month at the minimum, more if you can.
Absolutely.
And then also,
don't administrate your marriage.
Right.
You need to have those conversations, so don't hear me wrong.
Set that for a different time.
Exactly. Please just don't call it a date night.
Right.
A date night is when we go out just to have fun, to enjoy each other, to strengthen our marriage. It's really about just being playful and just reconnecting, and we really do need to protect that time.
And recapping the research, this is one of those silver bullets. If you do this as a couple, the predictability that your marriage will be thriving, successful, healthy is much higher.
Absolutely, because I mean, anytime you go out and do something together, like a date night, it just strengthens the bond between people. It's an opportunity to go to a deeper level relationally, as you're talking, as you're doing these fun activities, so you're meeting sort of both those needs of men and women. You know, communication can take place. You know, just all these things can strengthen a marriage. It's such a simple way. Because, again, you're not trying to add in. We're not saying, hey, go join a small group and read this marriage book. Good, thanks. Mm-hmm. Need to do those as well. But this is just a really simple, easy thing to do.
Greg, if a woman's listening to this and she wants to get her marriage to a place where they're having fun again, they're going on dates, is it appropriate for her to be planning the dates? I mean, there's something within us that says, my husband needs to hear this broadcast. He should be planning the dates. I'm going to wait around. Is that the wrong approach?
You know what? I think on just sort of at a broad level, this is what can strengthen a marriage. If it's more the woman that plans it, the guy, I mean, someone needs to be doing it. But I would put the challenge, though, out to the guys. Because to your point, I think it speaks love in a very, very different way to a woman when you take the time and say, hey, you know, next Friday, I'm getting a babysitter lined up and I planned something fun for us to do. Yeah, that just, I mean, the message is you matter. You're important. Our marriage is important. Mm. And so, if someone needs to do it. But guys, why not reap the rewards of sending that kind of a message?
Well, Greg, let's land with hope, because that's what's important here. That investment is so critical to building into our relationships. And there's, I think, no more important relationship on this earth than the relationship with your spouse.
Yeah.
That one sets the tone for the family. It allows your children to see love as God intended it. In fact, I want to end with some examples of people that found hope investing in the way we're talking about.
Being so predictable can make a marriage really stale. So we do just everything. We enjoy everything from skiing to ballroom dancing.
You need to clear your calendar once a week and go on a date. And don't let any event get in the way of it.
Even though we've been married 13 years and have 4 children, to put ourselves in the mindset of, well, what would we have done 13, 16 years ago, and do those things.
No one really loses their passion. They just lose their passion for that person. And the question is, why is that? And are you willing to wrestle and struggle with how to get that back?
Well, those are great reminders and great rewards that those testimonies represent. And Greg, it is great to have you here to remind us of this important aspect of our relationships and our marriages.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
And I think we actually do have you scheduled to be back in a few weeks, Greg, to talk more about marriage. And I trust that you'll be listening along with us then when that happens. The program today was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly, Dr. Julie Slattery, and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
I think today's discussion was a great reminder that having fun in marriage goes a long way to sustaining a healthy and thriving relationship. If you haven't taken the time to date your spouse for a while, make a point of figuring out a way that you can prioritize alone time together more regularly as you enter into a new year. Perhaps you can schedule it into your weekly calendar and watch how it changes the dynamic of your marriage. But remember, make it fun and continue learning about one another instead of thinking that you already know your spouse well enough. Our resource offering today may help you along in this regard. It's called The Little Book of Great Dates, and it'll help couples to proactively and intentionally build their relationship with its creative ideas for a year's worth of weekly, affordable dates. You'll find it online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300. Thanks for listening in to today's Focus on the Family. I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you to join us next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.